Our scripture this morning is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 13. We'll be reading at verses 10 through 17. Now Jesus was teaching in the synagogue on the Sabbath, and just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." Then he laid his hands on her, and immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites! Does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" When he had said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things that he was doing. The word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Rules. There's all sorts of rules. I think the kids did a good job. I feel like I did a good job navigating all of their answers as well. Rules are important. We need rules. Rules keep us safe. What do you do at a red light? You stop. What happens if you don't? You wreck. You get hurt. You hurt somebody else. It's an important rule. Rules keep us safe. Rules provide order. What other rules are there? What's your favorite rule? We'll get a little feedback this time. Tell me another rule. Somebody, anybody. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That's a golden rule. That's more of an unspoken rule. There's not a law in a book anywhere, right? Why is that rule important? Because we should be nice to each other. I don't think these are hard questions. Maybe they are. We want to be treated right, and so we treat others the way that we want to be treated. Can you imagine if everybody did that? If everybody treated another person the way that they would want to be treated? Probably be a lot closer to the kingdom of God than we are right now. These rules are important, but there are some rules that we take too far. So in this scripture that we read today, Jesus is teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. We don't know which synagogue. And all of a sudden, this woman shows up. We don't know which woman. She doesn't have a name, which isn't uncommon in the Bible. Women, not important enough to have names, right? We've come a long way. But there's this woman who appears. She's been crippled for 18 years with a spirit. Later, Jesus mentions Satan binding her himself. This woman for 18 years with the spirit has been bent over, hurting, not whole as she should be. And not only is this a physical ailment, but as someone who is this crippled, even unable to stand up, how much of her life would also be in need of healing? So this miracle that we read today is not only this miracle of her physical body being healed, but it is also a miracle of this woman being brought back to wholeness in her society and in her culture. Jesus heals this woman quite miraculously. He lays hands on her. It's another image of Jesus welcoming her back into the community. These folks that were sick, you weren't supposed to touch. Individually, as a person, you did not touch them. Culturally, as a society, you were not touched. And so Jesus not only heals her body by speaking these words and straightening her, he also lays his hands on her, signifying that welcome and that healing and wholeness back into the community. This is a beautiful miracle of Jesus offering this healing. But Jesus gets himself in trouble. He's broken a rule. You cannot do work on the Sabbath. Can't do it. The Sabbath is a holy day. The one day you ought not be doing any work. Is this an important rule? Honoring the Sabbath? Is this something that is important? Well, I put little bookmarks in my Bible here so we can go back and try to find where this rule is. Pull them back in Luke so I don't lose my spot. This is from Genesis chapter 2. You remember all throughout the first chapter of Genesis is this beautiful story of God creating the world. God speaks and there's light. God speaks and there's a dome in the sky. Land comes forward. All of these things over and over again. And the story ends like this. And on the seventh day, God finished the work that he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all the work that he had done. So God blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it, because on it God rested from all the work that he had done in creation. Not even a law, not a rule or a law that says keep the Sabbath, but this is the reasoning why God has made this day holy. It's a holy, hallowed day. Because God did all of these things in 6 days and decided to rest, that seventh day is a day of rest. God decreed it. God made it so. Honor the Sabbath. And then as the people go on, they're moving through the world, and there's this guy named Moses. Have you heard of Moses? He's a little baby in a basket once upon a time. He got raised up by Pharaoh in Egypt. And then all of a sudden, God hears the cries of God's people, calls Moses, who then leads them out of bondage and out of slavery. And they wander around for a little bit, and finally they get to a mountain. And Moses goes up on the mountain, and he comes back. What does he have with him? The Ten Commandments. Have y'all seen those funny videos of like Moses with 15 commandments? I think it was a Mel Brooks skit, wasn't it? It was Mel Brooks, wasn't it? I bring you these 15. He drops one. I bring you these 10 commandments. It's okay to laugh and share. I find that funny. This is one of those 10 commandments. Remember the 10 most important rules. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all of your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work. You, your sons or your daughters, your male or female slaves, your livestock, or the alien resident in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the seas and all that is in them, but rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath and consecrated it. Now it's a rule. It's a law. Keep the Sabbath holy. Here's the reason why God did all that work and then rested and made that day blessed and consecrated. And now we've turned it into a rule. We spoke in Sunday school a little bit about why these Ten Commandments and these laws are important. I want to give you a brief overview of why I think they're so important. And this is kind of a broad picture of our faith. And so I'll probably miss a couple points, but I think this is the reason why. God desires relationship with us. That's the foundation. Can we agree with that? God desires relationship with us, but part of what makes us human, and we've got other stories of Adam and Eve and eating apples and disobeying God, there's something about us that makes us not capable of having relationship with God. That's a big overstatement. But that's the basis, the foundation of it. We're not capable of being in relationship with God. And so through the law, beginning with the Ten Commandments and all the other laws, God sets up this path to make us capable of having relationship with God. Are you still with me? Nothing too crazy out there? But we're unable to do it. We're not capable of it. Even those 10 commandments, those laws, we can't follow them. Many of the other laws that are in the Old Testament, we're not able to do that. And so the people begin to build these fences around the law. If we can't follow these simple rules to make ourselves capable of relationship with God, we'll build broader fences around that law. Maybe the fence has a little bit more wiggle room. If you cross the line, not capable of being in relationship with God, but let's build a fence over here, then maybe you can flirt with a little bit and still not break that first rule. We're getting the image? So we've built all of these rules and these laws simply to try to be capable of having a relationship with God. But then Jesus comes along. Have you heard of Jesus? If you heard of Moses, I figured you probably heard of Jesus too. Jesus takes that away. We're unable to follow the rules to make ourselves worthy and capable of having relationships with God. So God says, fine, I'll do it myself. Every time I say that, I think of Thanos. But we'll make it happen ourselves, and Christ comes. And through a relationship with Christ, through his death and resurrection, we are all made capable of having that relationship with God. One of the reasons that Jesus does this, one of the ways that Jesus does this and points it out, is by saying that your rules don't matter. Your laws are not as important as you think they are. These laws that God has given you, these fences and additional laws that you've made around, have all been to make yourselves worthy of a relationship with God. But what have you turned them into? You've turned them into ways to keep people down. You've built up all of them. All of these rules that are meant to make you holy and God's people, you've turned them into something that harms others. Case in point, this woman. For 18 years, she's been crippled. 18 years with this spirit bent over, not able to move about the world the way that God has intended her. And you want to make her wait? Jesus is here now. And you're telling her to turn around, to walk out the door, and come back on Monday. This law honoring the Sabbath, this good law that is supposed to make us holy, you've turned it into a way to keep this woman down even one day longer. Jesus says that's not what it's about. He calls them hypocrites. Jesus doesn't call people hypocrites very often. But this synagogue leader, Jesus calls a hypocrite. You care about your animals more. You're willing to make exception to this rule of honoring the Sabbath to untie your ox or your donkey and to lead it to give it water. Why? Because you know that ox or that donkey needs its water. It can't live without water. So you make this exception because you care about this ox or this animal. But let's be honest. The real reason is that you understand its worth. If it dies today because you haven't given it water, what are you going to do the rest of the week? Even this ox is cared for or valued more to bend the rules to allow it to drink. But this woman who is suffering and hurting, you're unwilling to change and make an exception. You're not even doing anything. Jesus is the one that's healing. Why even stand in his way and try to drum up this anger? Jesus steps forth and brings this woman to wholeness. So I wonder if we ever do that. Do we do that? Do we hold up rules that are good and important, that matter? Rules that have good basis. Remember, following the Sabbath is meant to keep you holy and worthy of a relationship of God. This is a good rule. Jesus doesn't say stop following and honoring the Sabbath. Jesus says stop worshiping the Sabbath and keeping others down. Are there good rules that we follow to a T to the point that they cause more harm? I think the answer is yes. We had a handful of folks in Sunday school, and we had a great conversation. Great conversation. Now, this isn't a conversation. I asked you some questions, and nobody's talking back. So I'm not going to share all of those examples. But one of the things about church, about a community of faith, is that we get to come together and talk and be with one another. You guys know about our bubbles that we live in? Let me give you an example of my bubble. I bought a 3D printer the other day. And guess what my algorithm, all my social media apps are sending me? There's 3D printer filament on sale. Some of the biggest companies, they're having sales, huge sales. Did any of you guys know that 3D printer filament is on sale right now? You didn't? I have no idea how you would not know that, because I can't watch every other video is a sale video of 3D printer filament. This is a bubble that I live in. Somehow the phone, the technology knows that I've just bought a 3D printer, so it's like, here, this is what you need. We'll try to make more money off of you. That's my bubble. Now, this is a silly example. There's all kinds of bubbles that we live in. Somehow our phones, our apps, the technology has figured out what we want to hear. Somehow they know who we voted for, who we support, the causes that we give money to. And so they've figured out what we want to hear, and they send us that information. All right, so let me tell you one of the rules I think we do this with. I'll come back around, I promise. Immigration. There are rules about who can be here in our country. There are rules about who can live and work and be a part of what this country is. Yeah? Are those rules important? Yes. Those are important rules. Like following the Sabbath, there is a purpose to them. They have a meaning. They're good rules. My bubble tells me that the way that we're enforcing those has gone too far. That we're gathering up hordes of people, deporting them to countries that they're never even from. Africa. Sending South Americans to Africa. This is what my bubble, right? Maybe you're in a bubble that says, no, they're only getting the worst of the worst. The bad guys, the criminals. Anybody in that bubble? Anybody in my bubble? I knew Gary was. I can trust Gary. Anybody in my bubble? Whose bubble's right? It's probably somewhere in between, isn't it? Church is a place that we can come together and talk about those things. But church is also a place where we need to read scriptures like this and ask if those rules and the ways that we're enforcing them are doing good or if they're causing harm. If half of my bubble is, if a tenth of my bubble is right, we're not doing it good. How do we come together in a world out there that wants to polarize us and make us enemies? Come together and ask those questions. The leader of this synagogue is indignant, and he drums up anger in the crowd because he wants people angry. Jesus says, no. this is a good rule, but we're not following it right. Following this law the way that you're following it is causing more harm, and Jesus isn't standing for that. Are we following laws and rules in ways that are causing more harm than they're doing good? How do we as a community of faith put aside the noise out there and have important conversations? We did some around the LGBT community. Perhaps there's an opportunity about immigration. I don't know. But the following Christ means putting aside that anger, not listening to that synagogue leader, doling up anger and fear, but following Christ's lead to examine and acknowledge not only the rules and the laws, but the ways that we are enforcing them, the ways that we're living into them. Ultimately, to live in the kingdom of God, to be a follower of Christ, is untying not only the important things like oxen and donkeys, but caring for all of God's children. Caring for those women that the synagogue leader tells to come back tomorrow. Caring for those that are cast aside and put to shame. Jesus calls us to be loving and offer healing, not only in body, but in community. Jesus' call is to set free from ailment all who are hurting. May we follow Christ. Amen.